We had planned a Washington roundup today, and there is lots going on, although this morning's shooting at a GOP baseball practice that wounded House Majority Whip Steve Scalise and four others has stunned D.C., the House shutting down all legislative activity for the day.
And shutting down some parts of D.C. in a way, and our Angela Rye, Democratic strategist, is unable at this moment to get to our studio because of it, but Angela joins us by phone. Hi, Angela.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. And Paris Denard, Republican strategist, is with us as well. Hi, Paris.
Hello, hello.
And Paris, let me just start with you, your reaction to this shooting today, which it appears was carried out by somebody who had volunteered on Bernie Sanders' campaign.
Yes. You know, first of all, my condolences go out to Congressman Scalise and the families of Zach, Matt, David and Crystal, who are all affected by this tragedy, that were shot.
Actually, you know what, Paris? You remind me. We were going to let's get those names out there. Zachary Barth, right?
A
staffer for Representative Roger Williams from Texas. Matt Mika, a government relations director at Tyson Foods. And Special Agent David Bailey of the U.S. Capitol Police. There's also another special agent, Crystal Greiner. So we wanted to make sure we got those names out there. And you knew one of the organizers of this event.
Yes. Ryan Thompson is a very good friend of mine, a longtime organizer for it. He put on his Facebook that he's okay. Congressman Roger Williams is a longtime personal friend of mine, and I spoke to his daughter this morning, and she said that he was in good spirits, was mostly concerned about Zach, his staffer. The congressman ran into to flee gunshots, went to the dugout and injured his ankle. So he was not shot, as reports had indicated, but he injured himself. But I think it just drives home this point. Democrat or Republican, every person who goes to Capitol Hill, who goes to Congress, whether they're a staffer, an agent, or a congressman, are public servants who put their lives on the line every single day to advance the cause of making this country better. Now, they may do it from a Democrat perspective or a Republican perspective, but we should all remember and respect the sacrifice that they make for our benefit every single day. And so it's a time for us to put partisanship aside, and I am glad that the baseball game will continue. I've gone multiple years. I had already purchased my tickets, and a group of us are still going tomorrow.
Angela, what about you? What are you thinking about today after this shooting?
You know, the first thing I thought about was the fact that so often Capitol Hill police are some of our greatest heroes. They are close friends to this day. When I go to Capitol Hill, they're asking about how things are going, or they're telling me how proud they are when they hear me on NPR or see me on CNN. And so often they're really truly our unspoken heroes. So I'm grateful for their service. They are truly model examples, the gold star standard for law enforcement. And you saw that once again today. Security details are so often, you know, as they should be, in obscurity. They're there to protect House and Senate leadership. And I'm glad that they were there today, because if they hadn't been there, God only knows what would have happened. I couldn't agree with Paris more about the importance of bipartisanship. It was a beautiful moment on the House floor to see Nancy Pelosi and Paul Ryan talk about the importance of coming together, and how at the end of the day, an attack on one of us is an attack on all of us. So I thought it was a great moment, and I can only hope that the spirit of bipartisanship continues and it doesn't take another tragedy to bring everyone together.
Look, we want to move on to, you know, so much else happening, but I just want to ask you, Paris, do you think that will hold? I mean, now that people know that this was allegedly a supporter, or the alleged shooter was a supporter of Senator Bernie Sanders. Senator Sanders has acknowledged that and said it disgusts him. But is this going to be fodder? I mean, also, you know, some are calling for a closer look at gun control, a conversation that follows shootings. But do you think it will become partisan?
You know, this is D.C. so soon. I mean, I already saw tweets from the left, from people making it a partisan issue, and that's unfortunate.
Well, we should say there's some from the right as well.
Right. I'm just talking about the ones that I saw, and I think that that's unfortunate. I believe that what we have to remember is that, look, in 1998, when Detectives Gibson and Chestnut were gunned down in the Capitol, we had to stop and say, what are we doing? So many years later, we're still dealing with the effects of people who are deranged. I don't care that the man was a Bernie Sanders supporter. What I'm most concerned about is his disdain for this president and the Republicans were so great that he would take a gun and mow them down. That's the problem. Not that he's a Bernie Sanders supporter, but his hatred was so great that he would take these efforts.
All right, and we'll continue to follow this. And I want to get on to some of the other things that are happening in Washington that we wanted to hear from you about, starting with Attorney General Jeff Sessions' testimony yesterday before the Senate Intelligence Committee regarding Russian interference in the 2016 election. Let's listen here to a clip of Sessions.
Let me state this clearly, colleagues. I have never met with or had any conversation with any Russians or any foreign officials concerning any type of interference with any campaign or election in the United States. Further, I have no knowledge of any such conversations by anyone connected to the Trump campaign. I was your colleague in this body for 20 years, at least some of you, and I participated in any collusion, that I was aware of any collusion with the Russian government to hurt this country, which I have served with honor for 35 years, or to undermine the integrity of our democratic process is an appalling and detestable lie.
Angela, what stood out to you in Sessions' testimony yesterday?
Well, the primary thing that stood out to me is the fact that he continued to say he did not recall. And these events that were being spoken of were not that long ago for him to not recall. So to me, it demonstrated a willingness to not want to perjure himself. I thought one other thing that was profound was Senator King's questioning of him, asking him if he was invoking executive privilege. And you saw Jeff Sessions kind of stumble into this. It wasn't his right to claim executive privilege. And there were a number of people, I think not just lay people, but also senators, who did not realize that he could not invoke executive privilege of himself. He had to rely on the president to do it. And then he tried to preserve the right for the president to do it at a later date, which he also is not needed to do. Donald Trump can do that on his own. So I think one of the things that really stood out to me is the lengths that he would go to not disclose what actually happened. And I think Senator Kamala Harris did a great job of really drilling that home. Why didn't he study the policy that he was relying upon so heavily?
Well, in fact, we have a clip of Kamala Harris, a rising star in the Democratic Party, questioning Sessions about the Department of Justice policy he cited as the reason he couldn't discuss private conversations he had with the president.
Is that policy in writing somewhere?
I think so.
So did you not consult it before you came before this committee, knowing we would ask you questions about
that? Well, we talked about it. The policy is
based... Did you ask that it would be shown to you?
The policy is based on the principle that the president...
Sir, I'm not asking about the principle. I'm asking when you
would
be asked these questions and you would rely on that policy.
Chairman,
did you not ask your staff to show you the policy that would be the basis for you refusing to answer the majority of questions that have been asked of you?
Chairman, I wouldn't should be allowed to answer the question.
Senators will allow the chair to control the hearing. Senator Harris, let him answer.
Please do. Thank you.
We talked about it.
So this was the second time in a week, by the way, that Republican senators cut Harris off in a Senate Intelligence Committee meeting. But, Paris, I want to go to you for a second. Some have pointed to that as a moment where Sessions didn't hold up very well. Your thoughts?
I disagree. I thought the attorney general what I appreciated the most, Robin, was the fact that this attorney general was so steadfast and so strong and so declarative in his statements and in his responses that he was their colleague. They know him, and the fact he was so offended that they would attempt to impugn his reputation and besmirch his character through the politics of personal destruction to imply that he somehow was involved in collusion. And he raised a very good question. He answered in saying, "This investigation is about whether or not the Russians colluded with this campaign, but more importantly, if there was proof that the Russians did something with this election." That's what we need to be focused on, not whether or not the attorney general was in a room or not with the Russian ambassador, who, might I add, met with many people on the left, Democrat senators, between 2009 and 2016. So it wasn't like this was uncommon. So if it was good for the goose, it's good for the gander. But at the end of the day, remember, the attorney general asked for the hearing to be be made open and to be public because he had nothing to hide. And that was an important fact. He could have done this behind closed doors. They could have exercised executive privilege, but he did none of that. He's answered the questions to the best of his knowledge, and he did a good job.
You know, this, I think, is so representative. Just a second, Angela. This is just so representative of what's happening in this country right now, which is two people are watching this hearing and seeing two completely different things.
Very. Yeah. You know, I think I just have to point out, I would be interested to know what questions Paris heard him answer, because I think it was very clear to most of the senators on both sides of the aisle that he was relying on a policy that sounded very similar to executive privilege. I think the other thing that I really wished that at least some of the Democratic senators would have drilled home was the fact that it wasn't just that he misspoke during his testimony when Senator Franken questioned him on his contact with the with Russian officials. He also misspoke or miswrote, right? In his responses to Senator Leahy, he relied on that same foul intelligence. It was not right. It was inaccurate. And he cleared it up later in a newspaper article. The reason why Attorney General Jeff Sessions was before that committee yesterday is because he misrepresented the truth during his nomination hearing. That is a major flag.
That's Angela Rye, a Democratic strategist. Paris Denard, we gave you each equal time. I know you probably want to respond, but with the time we have, not now. Paris Denard, a Republican strategist. Angela's stuck in traffic because of all the goings on in Washington. We thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.